Mini episode 979 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome, everyone, to mini episode number 979 of the FDH Lounge. We have a very special look back today at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions for 2018, one of the every third year versions of it where it actually occurs in my hometown of Cleveland, Ohio. We have a great guest on to talk about this, and I appreciate being able to have somebody on with his kind of varied background, because when you're looking at a ceremony like this, it's not simply about the rock and roll. It's not simply about the entertainment facets of this. You have to be able to have a conversation where you're addressing really all around everything that is encompassed in this very unique slice of Americana. And we have a guest who can do this here today with us, a gentleman who is both a noted DJ and, again, who has, along the way, really racked up a great reputation for knowing his stuff about music, and specifically some of the heavy metal music of years gone by. A gentleman who has also done a great deal of acting, and he comes from a very, very talented family, a very, very deep talent base. I speak, of course, of Mark Coppola, and I know I'm going to like this guy already because, and I can't believe it's been 20 years already, but one of my all-time favorite movies, Snake Eyes. Of course, I'm a big Gary Sinise mark, but his brother Nick played no small role in making that an absolute great movie. But it's a pleasure to welcome to the show someone who can really speak on all of this the way that he can, Mark Coppola. Thank you very much for appearing on the show today, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Really looking forward to delving into this with you.
Yeah, well, there's a few things to talk about, so, you know, we can do that. Well, one of the interesting things to me is, like, I'm waiting to see it edited and then shown back on HBO on May 5th, because they go in there with their cameras and they really do a good job, and they slice it and get the cream of the crop out of the moments in there. But and years ago, they didn't even have any way to view it, you know. They started doing that kind of because they thought some of the bands they were inducting would have a fight, and that made good TV. Van Halen would have been one of those examples. Kiss is another one. But yeah, so what did you think of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction?
I thought it was very interesting, and I'd like to sort of start there on a note that you were talking about in terms of the fractious nature of some of these bands and the way that, it's almost, I guess, a cliche in the rock industry as far as bands not getting along as well over the years, such that we had a first this time around, no separate band there or entity or individual, whatever, to induct Dire Straits. A very interesting and awkward moment where the band members, minus Mark Knopfler, were essentially inducting themselves. What did you make of that, Mark?
Well, minus Mark Knopfler, his brother David, as well as Pick Withers, the main drummer of the band, none of those guys were there. And Mark is, of course, the brains behind the band, chief songwriter, the brilliance behind the guitar and the voice. So without that guy there, I don't know what. And because they weren't going, and they said they weren't going, they didn't pick anybody to induct them. So you had a couple of the other members, you know, rhythm section and some other guys that were involved with the band, kind of inducted themselves. There was no real announcement. They may have played the video of the band. I don't know. I didn't see that. And then they kind of gave a little bit of a speech, and that was it. But the reason why, well, one of the Knopfler brothers didn't go, David, but because he said originally they were going to pay the expenses, and they said, no, you got to pay your own way there. Well, he doesn't have a lot of cash. I mean, it would have been an expense. You know, Mark is the guy with all the money, and the band gets all the residuals. So why he didn't go, though, I don't know. He's usually, you know, a British gentleman. I couldn't picture that. It's a pretty big honor to be in there. And the other interesting thing is both the Cars and Dire Straits came out in 78. They had their debut albums come out in the fall of that year, and both bands got inducted the same year. But the difference is the Cars got passed over the last 3 years, you know, well, up until this year. They were in the fan vote in the middle. They kept trying and trying again. They didn't get in there until this year. Dire Straits was nominated out of the box, and nobody shows up. You know, that's not a big thank you, you know? I mean, geez.
Yeah.
F you, actually. But yeah, so I don't know. But it was good to see that you know, 30 years later, that both those bands got in there. The problem I'm finding with the Rock Hall is they wait too long to induct people. This has always been an issue, and people die. Remember that Boom Moody Blues had died before he got in there years ago. Of course, they were an eligible Benjamin Orr, the main lead vocalist of the band, of the Cars. You know, he's not with us, so that's happening. But as bands get older, more members keep dying, and I think there's a solution for this. Somebody told me the other day that they should just have one big year and get in a lot of these bands that have been overlooked for so long, like your Bad Companies and Blue Oyster Cult, and just get them inducted already and then move on.
They really should, and it's interesting because we're speaking, of course, of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but this is something where it occurs with probably every Hall of Fame out there. I think, for example, of Buck O'Neill with the Baseball Hall of Fame, a guy who really deserved it as a builder, if nothing else, even if you didn't think on the field he had the numbers or whatever, and it's a little bit harder to substantiate with the Negro Leagues what the numbers were, the record-keeping wasn't as great, but as a builder, no question about it, he should have been in there. It's really a shame in any walk of life when you're looking at the Hall of Fames here. You're absolutely right. We need to honor people, you know, in their time and while we still can.
Right. Now, they did do something. They were trying. Well, they've been trying to correct this thing for a while. Every year, one of those bands that was passed over forever seems to make it in now. The Moody Blues, big example, 5 decades. Chicago, last couple of years, got in there finally. You know, Rush was eligible for like 11 years, finally gets in there. Bon Jovi, you know, I mean, well, they were a little upset they didn't get inducted the first year. They were nominated back in 2011. But, I mean, that's par for the course. I don't think they really should worry about that, you know, so much. I mean, they got in there this year, but they've been trying to correct a lot of these things.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned Rush because they're my all-time favorite group, and it's one of those things where if you're just, I guess, not one of the critics' darlings or whatever the case may be, it doesn't matter how many bands or musicians you're an influence on, and countless ones have cited Rush, but because in the critics' mind, I don't know if this goes back to the 70s and finding them to be derivative of Zeppelin or whatever the case might be, you get that rap in the minds of the intelligentsia. And like you said, it's good that it's changing in some ways, but you're absolutely right, it needs to change more.
Well, and also Yes finally got in there. They were nominated a few times and passed over, but they thought they had a better shot of getting in after bands like Genesis got in 2010. They figured that the progressive bands that were always overlooked finally were getting in there, and I'm glad they did. One of the more interesting inductions to me was one like the Moody Blues was the Chicago induction, and that was a long time coming, 5 decades of music too. But what was weird about that was the problems between the band members. Peter Cetera said he was going. The band didn't respond to him saying that fast enough. And then he said, you know, well, they didn't call me back in 24 hours, so I'm not going now. And so then the band goes, and Peter Cetera decided not to show up. Well, that cost him with the Songwriters Hall of Fame, because in the next year, Chicago was inducted to the Songwriters Hall of Fame, but only 2/3 of the band. I guess they didn't like the way Peter handled the Rock Hall, and so they said, well, we're going to wait on you. You're not getting inducted yet. You know, they think they got more power than they do. And I think Peter Cetera, you know, I mean, is probably one of the better songwriters in the band that was there from the beginning. Here's what they did this year, different from years gone by. They started this category called the singles, and they're non-inductees that have historical value and influence. So you would have Steppenwolf, who was nominated last year and was passed over, Born to Be Wild, that single is going in there. Rumble by Link Wray, he was never inducted, but that single's going in there. And Louie Louie, the great Toga Party song, The Kingsmen, they're in there. And the Chubby Checker got The Twist, that's in there. And then I think Procol Harum, Whiter Shade of Pale is one of the ones. They're going to do this every year, 5 or 6 songs, like a 6-pack of singles, you know, that they'll try to get inducted.
That's a great means of recognizing acts in that way. You almost wonder, I don't know if anybody would take it this way or not. Is there anyone you suppose that might sort of take that the wrong way as far as, gee, thanks for labeling us as a one-hit wonder? I mean, I would hope that nobody would take it that way, but I can't help but wonder
maybe.
That.
Maybe not. It's kind of like, you know, you don't get an Oscar for all these years and they give you an honorary one later, you know, like a tribute.
Yeah.
What else can I tell you? Bon Jovi, Howard Stern gave a hell of an induction speech, 13 minutes, but then John Bon Jovi gets up and, you know, he talks for 20 minutes about the band. You know, that was pretty funny. But the good thing about that was is that Richie Sambora came back and joined the band and actually played. That doesn't always happen. Like when Journey was inducted a couple of years, last year actually, Steve Perry showed up, but he didn't play with the band. You know, so that was, that was interesting. Sometimes these induction things, like with the case of Journey or the Songwriters Hall of Fame for Foreigner, people who haven't spoken for 10 years bury the hatchet and they get back together. Steve Perry sent an email to Neil Sean and said we should have coffee, and so now they're talking. And he gave this glowing, speech about how he loved Journey. He used to go and see him on the Strip at Sunset Boulevard. And, you know, he gave him the demo tape, and on the fourth album, they hired him within like 30 seconds. And then the other thing was, in the Songwriters Hall of Fame, Lou Gramm and Mick Jones did not speak for over a decade. They got inducted, realized their songs are so good. They've been writing together for the last 2 years since then. They're going to release an EP, an extended play, of like four of the songs they've recently done together. So sometimes the Hall of Fame does bring people back together. Other times it causes big fights.
Absolutely, as was the case with Dire Straits, which we talked about. But yeah, in the case of Foreigner, that is particularly noteworthy because, again, anytime you talk to somebody, it's really just sort of a snapshot in time. But a couple of years ago when Lou Gramm was on the show, boy, it sure sounded like the differences were irreconcilable. It's nice to hear that something like this can be the catalyst for bringing back some of these beloved acts, which really brought joy to so many, because you just hope that the artists themselves can sort of take that satisfaction from it, from the joy that they brought to a lot of people and feel the positivity. And sadly, I'm guessing that's probably the minority of cases, but it's sure nice to hear when it does happen.
Yeah, it is. The only other thing I can tell you is that, you know, since David Bowie passed away, then everybody else went after him, like Prince and all that. The last 2 years have been really rough on both kinds of entertainment, movies as well as music. It's not all about getting to be a certain age, because these people are dying relatively young in their 60s. You know, it's just, you know, I don't know. It's been sad the last couple of years who we've lost. Somebody made a joke and said, no, David Bowie, you know, he went to the other side and started deciding who he wanted to bring there for a rock concert. It's kind of like based on an old novel by Ayn Rand called Atlas Shrugged, where all the great minds and engineers were disappearing because they went to this other parallel universe because they didn't want to, you know, stay in society anymore. It's kind of what that reminds me of. It'd be fun to do a movie like that, you know.
Well,
yeah, but yeah, so that's what's going on.
I always appreciate a fine Ayn Rand reference on the show here. Thank you for bringing that. And I have to say,
you
also,
have those once in a while.
You do. You absolutely do. Just to spice things up, you know. And as you look ahead, you know, as we've talked a little bit about the band's not in and the act's not in yet, that we're going to see, I think, some debates coming up in the years to come, because particularly as the Hall of Fame has gone more towards hip-hop acts, putting in some of the bigger ones in recent years, there's been a debate about ultimately who belongs in the Hall of Fame in terms of that. I'm thinking, looking ahead to the 80s and the years to come here, when you're looking at some synth-heavy kind of acts that are going to be in there, and the 80s being a decade when pop really kind of divorced itself from rock outright in a lot of ways, because you listen to 70s pop and you could at least hear the guitars in there. You get to the 80s, not so much. Methinks we'll be getting a lot more debates from the purists in the years to come about who constitutes a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame worthy act.
Well, I'm looking here right now at some different lists that came up. One of the things that can be done is with fans of any band, they can start sending petitions to the Rock Hall. That's kind of how it all starts. You know, the Rush fans were the best at that. One of the bands that's been passed over, and gosh, the lead vocalist has been in six bands, almost as many bands as Eric Clapton's been a guitarist in, Paul Rodgers, Bad Company, Free. Those bands have not been inducted, and geez, you know, Bad Company was the first rock band on Led Zeppelin's label besides Led Zeppelin, and they really should have been in there. He's been in six different bands. And then somebody said, look, they finally put the E Street Band in there. What about Wings? Paul McCartney was inducted, but no Wings. Wings should be in there. Denny Lane, of course, was in Wings, but he also got inducted this past weekend with Moody Blues. That was nice of them to bring him back. He was their original lead vocalist. Some of the other bands, I mean, some people think Stevie Nicks should be inducted as a solo artist. Maybe, maybe not. You know, Fleetwood Mac is already in there. Iron Maiden, one of the great metal bands. Pat Benatar, he was a pretty big role model for a lot of women vocalists to come. Styx, yeah, you know, I think they ought to be in there at some point. I mean, but they're one of those progressive style bands. Radiohead, they've been nominated or at least shortlisted but not gotten in. Maybe Meatloaf, Rage Against the Machine, Blink 182, other bands. You know, the other thing you got to look at is that sometimes people get in this argument about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they question why, like, rhythm and blues and Motown, you know, type bands get in there, like, you know, talking about Janet Jackson. The reason for that is all those bands, it's bands that are rock and roll bands or bands who heavily influenced rock and roll. So a lot of your Motown influenced rock and roll. In fact, they redid the songs of bands like Rare Earth to bring it to a rock audience, things like that, you know. So I'm big on the fact that blues musicians should be inducted. Like Sister Rosetta Tharpe, probably the first female lead guitar player ever in blues. She finally got inducted. Big influence on future female guitarists. So that's what it's all about. It's all encompassing. Rock and roll and then dance influence, both in pop and in other types. That's why hip hop bands get in too, because you know they influence a lot of rock bands. So
that's true, and it's thought commonly so that and I think correctly so that basically it all goes sort of back to the same source. If you look at rock going back to the blues. That some of these other forms kind of date back to that as well. And as far as it goes with Paul Rogers, I would personally sign a petition to put every one of his bands in the Hall of Fame the same year. I'm a big fan of his. And, you know, I think in looking at this, it's really very interesting that of the bands that are not in there and the debates that have been had in terms of that, as you noted, the progressive form is one where it's really sort of borne that stigma over the years when you look at the critics, because as you correctly noted, yes, and that's something out there for Styx as well, that we're sort of moving past that, but we're obviously not all the way past that at this point when somebody who would seem as obvious as Styx is still on the outside looking in.
That's right. That's right. So, any other thoughts on this, or
no? That
we start.
That was pretty much it. Do you have any other thoughts or thoughts on future inductions?
I think that now's the time we got to start looking at the whole list of who hasn't been inducted and start writing our petitions out as fans. I mean, some say that the fan vote and the ballot, because you know, here's how it works: they put up a bunch of bands for the fan vote, and the top five get their own ballot out of, like, it's one ballot. And they say that doesn't really have any effect, but I say it does. I say it influences other voters. But the other problem is, in the last several years, you may be in the top five, but that doesn't mean you're going to be inducted. I mean, the Cars have been in the top five the last couple of years, and Yes was in there the last 3 years. So what's up with that? They pass them over. Doesn't make any sense. But, yeah, at least it's a start. I think Bruce Springsteen's management or somebody got into the Rock and Roll and allegedly fired some people and restructured it, and that's why some of these atrocities, we call it, with people being left out over the years, have been slowly fixing themselves. They're a lot better now than the Songwriters Hall of Fame. They're the ones that seem to be leaving people out all the time.
Absolutely. There has to be some accountability to the public, because it's the public that, again, buys the albums and basically keeps them in business in the first place. So, yeah, there should be a strong voice in there for that. And as I had noted to you off air, it is a thing where, again, I can speak as a lifelong resident of America's North Coast. It is always a special thing every third year when we get it here in Cleveland. We're obviously hopeful that it could be more than that, but it was enough, I suppose, we were able to get the Hall of Fame in the first place here, working the angle of Alan Freed from back in the 50s and how influential he was, and to whatever extent WMS's role as a big-time tastemaker in the 1970s, breaking out a lot of these national acts. So by hook or by crook, we were able to get the Hall of Fame here. And every third year, everyone gets to come here. There are a few who I think would enjoy coming here for their inductions. You mentioned Pat Benatar before. She's got some pretty strong Cleveland ties. So of the ones who are on the outside looking in, there's probably at least a few who would say to themselves, gee, I wouldn't mind if it was the year it was in Cleveland.
Yeah, I got to give you a little slice of life here. You know, on the Academy Awards, of the award shows, somebody's doing a speech and the music comes up louder and louder because they want them to get off the stage.
Yeah.
My wife's pulling that stunt right now. She's turning the TV up a little bit every couple of minutes.
Well,
so I'm actually on the air, honey. Would you like to say hi? Say hi. Come here. She doesn't want to see you. Say hi. Well, any thoughts on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? She just gave me the finger. Yeah, she keeps turning the TV up every few seconds just to let me know, like, I've been on the phone too long.
Mark, we are always happy to talk to any member of your super talented family. Tell your wife we give her the best.
To my super talented wife. Here, wait a second. She's an actress too. You know, let me tell you something about my wife. If you ever watch Orange Is the New Black?
A little bit.
That's a TV show on Netflix. Yeah, in the ninth episode, the Thanksgiving one, right in the middle, she plays the aging rock star. Oh. Yeah, she's pretty good. She's not aging, but then she played one. She had to put the makeup on.
I'm going to go back and rewatch that. Absolutely.
She plays Laura Prepon's stepmother, kind of.
Now I got to see that. Yeah. Now I got to see
Episode 9, season 1. It's called F-K's Giving.
Of all the things I thought we were going to get a plug in for tonight, I didn't realize it would be that, but that's the beauty of this show.
I wasn't going to do it until she started thinking she was going to show raising the music cup. Like, the Golden Globes is the most notorious for that.
It is. It is. Thank you so much for being on, Mark. Please don't be a stranger. It was a wonderful conversation with you.
Oh, it was nice. All right. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Thanks very much. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to FDH Lounge mini episode number 979.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classics, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.